His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black Power, I want to welcome everybody to tuning in to tonight. And of course, I want to definitely start off by saying Ashe. Black Power for all of our black people out there, and really, this is tonight's show, and yes, it's the sister segment of the Black Panther Party, New Black Panther Party, but it's not just privilege for the New Black Panther Party membership. It goes across America and international usage for all of our people. So, of course, my name is Sister Nero, and I'm the National Assistant for the New Black Panther Party, and without the work of the National Central Committee, as well as, you know, the National Chairman Malik Zulu Shabazz, as well as Dr. Khalid Muhammad, and as well as other laborers such as the National Spokesman Chairman, local Chairman for Louisville, Sean Aquali, and we have other members, National Minister of Protocol. We also have our National Minister of Defense, DK, and we have many IERA. We have many other people who have labored in the black nation and not just privileged to work in the New Black Panther Party, but outside of the confines of the New Black Panther Party, we have Lady Freedom, who is definitely an ally of ours that is working on the agriculture of peace for the nation. So we definitely want to give a shout-out to everybody. And if I did not mention your name, don't worry, because next week we will continue to praise all the precious and wonderful brothers and sisters within this nation that keeps this nation rolling. And, of course, through our National Day of Action, we definitely want to give a shout-out to everybody that has continued to work hard within that confines of that, and it's not just subject to that, but we definitely have so many things going on within the black nation. I first want to introduce you to my co-host, which last week you heard from her. Her name is Sister Sylvia, and she's a co-founder of organization, which she will definitely tell you what that is about, but she's also a member of the New Black Panther Party as well, and she has many other projects that she's working on in her VA chapter and area, so we definitely want her, I want to bring her on, and I definitely want her to be welcomed along with myself, and basically I'm going to let her go from here. So we have 757-208. Come on, Queen. Come on here. Black Power, Queen. Let me try it again. Okay, Black Power, Queen.
Black Power.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, you got me.
Yes, ma'am. We got you on here live and waiting for our people. Well, go ahead, sister. I'm going to let you talk because I did the intro, so you can proceed to move on.
Okay. Well, tonight's show, we want to talk about health and wellness. And I want to start by saying, you know, we as black people, we are not in the best of health these days because of the poison that we are given to ingest as well as our, you know, our children. But give you some helpful information as far as, you know, what to do or what resources you can come by in your time at Elman. I would like to start off by saying I am in a holistic field. I am a massage therapist. So I deal with a lot of natural, a lot of the natural herbs and oils and aromas and things like that. So one thing, massage is very important. A lot of people don't realize that, especially our people. But the reason why I say that is because that's how our people used to heal themselves in the beginning, before there were doctors, before there were, you know, all these medicines and things like that. Now, a lot of people, they think massage is, you know, just luxury because, you know, you always hear, well, I can't afford a massage, so I don't get one. But I'm going to tell you, if you go the route of massage first, you might save yourself a lot of money on doctor bills. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So, no, how so? No, you're breaking it down. How so, though? Our people need to know that. How so? I mean, I've had definitely professional massages from definitely holistic folk, and I know it's a it's been a benefit for me on the terms of back and on the terms of neck because I use the computer a lot. But
that's the perfect way to detox. If you want a natural detox by massage because you're moving around what we call lactic acid, as well as other impurities that's in your body, and it puts it in a position where it can flow out your body evenly. Mm-hmm. As far as like when you were saying your neck or your back, a lot of times just stress tightens your muscles up. Like, you know, a lot of times when you get headaches, that's not the headache is from tight your neck, your lower back. Sisters that wear heels, you might get a lot of headaches as well because your body is almost like a domino effect. And by you wearing heels, you're throwing the gait of your body off. And when you throw the gait off, it off shifts everything. And it goes up to your head. So you might, you know, feel the headache from that. You're sitting at a computer, you're sitting on your glutes. You know, those tighten up, which pulls against your back muscles, which pulls against your shoulder muscles, which causes headache. Those sisters that's overweight, you know, it also helps you induce weight loss. You get a lot of people that complain of low back pain, which really comes from your hips because those muscles tighten up. You know, certain stretches your therapist would do, certain ways she can, you know, work that knot out. And a knot is a muscle that's tightened and causes you a lot of pain. So that's why I say that it could probably save you a lot of doctor bills. Because I know a lot of my clients, they will come in and they will say, you know, I've had an MRI because, my hip hurt. And, you know, my doctor sent me to this specialist. I went to that specialist. And, like, thousands of dollars later, they come to me, a couple massages. I'm not going to say I heal them then, but, you know, it's a big improvement. So
okay.
It's a very, very, very therapeutic aspect of living as well.
Okay. Well, that's definitely good to know that we do have a massage therapist within the organization. That definitely is beneficial. Sister, don't be upset when you see a lot of these brothers and sisters come to you for a massage at these events that we throw because it's very, very important that, you know, we promote within, you know.
Right.
Talk about different issues with our health because black people, we are unhealthy. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. We are unhealthy because some of us want to continue to eat inappropriately. Just for example, if you remember in what was that movie called, Big Mama's House, the very thing that killed her, you know, was the stuff that she was eating, and they continued. They didn't even learn from that, and then they had another big Sunday dinner, which involved her dying, you know what I mean, afterwards. So they were still continuing to eat the tradition of swine and, you know, things like that. Even the white men you know, historically tells you that pork and swine are very, very bad for us, and especially, you know, for the meat eaters. If you're not raising your own cows, then, you know, you don't know what they ingesting the cows with or what type of chemicals that the cows are getting. So that's another thing that we have to really begin to discuss. And I'm not trying to tell everybody to be vegetarians, but I'm just saying that if you're going to, we should try to eat the best of the best. You know, we should definitely try to promote that as a nation, and we just need to be honest with our people, because we keep saying that we're freedom fighters and we go out here and we're fighting for freedom, but yet we can't even pick up our left leg, you know, past the floor because, you know, we're so unhealthy and out of shape, and we can't even run down the steps without becoming tired and knees crackling, you know. So there's things that we have to discuss, and I know, like you said, through massages, that definitely would definitely help to begin to help us purify our bodies.
Right. And, I mean, even outside of massage, just meditation now. Different people refer to meditation as different things, and they do it different ways. Some meditate through prayer. Some meditate just in a quiet room. But meditation, and the purpose of that is to clear your mind, because if your mind is not right, the rest of your body is not going to function correctly. So you have to put yourself in a position where you can kind of regulate your thoughts. You know, and that will, and you notice once you start meditating that your stress levels will go down, how you learn to deal with situations will change.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
Well, yeah, not just seeing the I know a lot of us use the affirmations and things like that during the meditation, which is great, but also just the embodiment of it. If we learn how to do yoga along
right.
with meditation, that definitely helps us because it makes us more limber. And then that's a definite way to get a little exercise in, to get a little stretching in, because that's basically what yoga is, a form of stretching. And you're
right.
stretching different parts of your body and different parts of your muscles. And you're able to, you know, be able to, you know, bring in the energy. But that's the
right.
truth, you know.
No.
Without it, you know, we're going to continue to be stressed,
right.
you know. And that's another thing that's killing us as people, with stress. Because look at these days and times. Look how, oh, my goodness, look how bad the health system is. And even with, like, the health care, because that's my field. That's what I'm going to school for, is health care. And I'm not just going to school to work for them, but I'm going into business for myself. Upon the healthcare issue, because this is a problem that we have as people. You know, we're not obviously going to the doctors, because guess why? We can't afford to go to the doctors. You know what I mean? In a lot of cases. And not only can we afford to go to the doctors, we really just don't trust doctors
right.
because of a lot of different, you know, reasons. And some reasons are really great or really good. Or some of us, another thing, we're hard-headed and we're not going to listen to the righteous doctors if they tell us to stop eating pork or take pork out of their diet. We think they're crazy as hell. So we definitely have to, and then we have to understand what exactly is health care in America. I mean, you know, what does it involve? And, you know, you go in any other country, you know, for example, if you go to Canada, if you go to Cuba, if you go to any of these other so-called countries that America says sucks, you actually get free health care. You know, a lot of us, even if we go to Canada and get an address, well, I shouldn't say that, but it's the truth. Because I've seen it, you know, I've done research upon it, and a lot of us, you know, that are suffering from the so-called health care, we can actually be able to go into these different places, and we can receive, even in France, they receive free health care, everywhere in the United States, because it's a big business. It's a,
right.
you know, it's a huge business. The doctors are getting paid, and then that's why they don't take certain people that have passport and Medicare. They call it passport here, but it's Medicaid in most states. Different forms, you know, the state government care, they don't have to really take you, you know what I mean? And then they pass you down to the list. I'm telling you, research it. And then they put you down on the list, and if you really don't need that surgery, they're not going to give it to you. If you're not dying from it, then they're going to pass you on the list and give it to you when they feel like they want to give it to you. You're probably near death, you know what I mean? in a lot of cases, they're refusing. The hospital does have a right to refuse you health care, refuse you any type of help. They just get you enough so you, you know, revive you, and then they're going to sit you go to the worst evil of two choices of the other hospital, other generic hospital that really don't give a damn about you. So that's some things that we have to really begin to look into. If we're talking about rebuilding a nation, or we're building a nation within our own nation for our people, we have to really begin to think about what are we going to do about health care, you know. And that's why it's important now, before we even get onto that subject of health care, we as people need to get into holistic health, you know what I mean, until such time, and even continue to practice it, because it's not going to get any better for us until we really establish our own nation. Anyway, sisters, go ahead.
Even now, what you can do is you can grow your own herbs, or, you know, some type of fruit or some type of vegetable. I mean, you just want live food. They say raw food. Raw food is uncooked food, but you want live food. Live food is considered something you cut right off the root and ingest, because the chlorophyll within that live food, it helps fight off cancer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It helps cure different ailments that you have. It builds your body's immune system up. So you do want to have some type of little garden. You know, I'm not saying go out and, you know, become a farmer and, you know, invest in all the equipment and anything, but you can grow, you know, like I said, little herbs or vegetables, you know, something fresh that you can incorporate in your diet daily.
Well, we do have the black farmers that are definitely working with us on this National Day of Action, but they would definitely, if you could work with them, I know a lot of us, you know, don't have access to a lot of food like that, but if we could get together, and if you're in a particular city, say, for example, you're in Virginia, and you know a lot of people on our block will buy fruits. They will buy healthy things, and they don't necessarily want to go to the market. But if they have easy access to them, and everybody come up with a total maybe of $25 a piece, and that's a lot of y'all, then we can definitely, you know, go with the black farmers, because definitely the black farmers are feeding our people. And shoot, what we say, we're trying to build a nation, so we come out buying black. If you can't make it yourself, why not, you know? And you know you don't have a black supermarket in your area, you know. So that's things that we have to really begin to look at as a nation. I think we do have a caller, sister. If you don't have anything else to add to that comment, I probably can take a caller.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, like where I live right in Surrey, Virginia. Mm-hmm. So we have a farm in the yard, and we have a farm up the street. I'm going to tell you the reason why a lot of our black farmers aren't farming anymore is because they're lacking a lot of support.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure
if
you start supporting and going out there and then showing that you're interested, they will continue, you know.
Exactly. Well, let me call this next caller. We have 334-505. You're on Black Power Radio.
All right, Black Power Queen.
Black Power.
Black Power.
Yes, and free the land, I should say,
as well. I'm glad that you all are speaking about living healthy, you know, health and wealth. And I'm glad you're speaking about farmers, because that's something that's near and dear to my heart, the black farmers. And I'm glad that you were saying that about working with them, because I know farmers like Muhammad Farms and Seed Incorporated and some of the other organizations that we're working with, they do have those type of buyers programs available, and we are looking for people who are willing to help the farmers to organize black farmers co-ops in their areas so that we can bring it to them. On like the sister said, you know, a lot of time they're lacking support, and we have to help them organize to be able to get the support that they need.
Right.
And so I really want to ask everyone that has not already to please join the United Front Agriculture Ministry group on Facebook, and as well as you can send information to me if you're wanting to help organize.
Give the address before you even get into it, because you're going to get into the meat of some things. Before you even get into that, get these folks
that information for the Facebook page so everybody can become a member and that could really get this information out there. Because that's, you know, we're talking about holistic here. And then not only that, but we need to start buying black more so.
Most definitely. Most definitely. You want to go to United Front Agriculture Ministry, and from there you'll be able to see some links for the different farming organizations that we are teaming up with, where they already have buying clubs. And so with United Front, United Black Front, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're just trying to get those black wheels, get them all together so we can make it work. And so I'm glad y'all are speaking about that. And I wanted to also say, for people who say, you know, a lot of times people think farming means you have to have acres and acres of land, but I wanted to just put this out there. One of the groups that is teamed up with the United Black Front Agriculture Ministry is Seed Incorporated. And I saw them doing square foot gardening, which blew my mind. Like vegetables, like we say, you know, some snack plants, like plants you can just go snap something off of and eat. I mean, if you've ever seen watermelon grow straight up out the ground on the stalk with no anything to hold it together, you definitely want to look up square foot gardening and just see how you can take a little square foot and grow your stuff straight up into the air. I mean, really, it's just mind-blowing. For those people who may not want to, may not have the land to be able to do rows and rows of cabbage or whatever you want to grow. But I do want to put that in, and I'm enjoying the information. And also the sister, when she was saying about the massages, and I had a car accident where I had to go to the chiropractor. It was my first time ever dealing with a chiropractor. And they were explaining to me, even if I couldn't make it there, some of the best things to do is just to do some yoga, some exercises. And so for those people that say, well, I can't afford to go to the masseuse, I understand your plight. I really do. So there are other things we could do at home in order to alleviate some of those pressures. Because it's interesting, I was doing some stretching things earlier today, just some of the day-to-day things that we do, you know, being freedom fighters and working in the movement and being mothers and fathers and employees and all that. We go through a lot on a daily basis that puts a lot of strain on our body. And so we definitely do have to take time out. And
Okay, you said that?
Yeah. See, massage, and that's the thing about it, it's not as expensive as you think it is, you know. Like here, we only charge, $35, $40 an hour, you know.
That's not expensive at all.
No, so it's just a matter of doing your research. I mean, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of times when you spend that type of money, it's to go get pampered. You know, you're going to a high-end spa. Yeah, you're going to a high-end place to get pampered, and they're not going to do anything therapeutic anyway. But like sister had said, the best place to go if you don't know where to go, you know, call around to different chiropractors because they are also considered alternative health, so they would know where to refer you to if they don't have a therapist themselves. More and more chiropractors are starting to have massage therapists in their office. So, but I think what I want to do before the end of this year is actually come out with a video to just give you, like, certain points and techniques you can do at home yourself, you know, you and your partner. That way you don't have to worry about, you know, going out, spending money. I mean, it might, you know, cut into my pocket because, you know, that is how I eat, but at the same time, I don't
with
mind, you
video,
know, sharing
you can get some money off that video, sister. Shoot, make that money.
I know that's right. So that would be my end of the year, or New Year gift, you know, to some of my followers, is I will, you know, present a video. So that way, you know, you can purchase it one time, and, you know, you have a friend, have a man, have a woman, whatever. You know, y'all can, you know, kind of work on each other that way.
So it's not necessarily
people that always have to be licensed to do it. Because, I mean, I've read, you know, about it. You just need to know certain functions, and you need to know where, you know, the bones and what do what.
But so like that, I said, that's how our people in the beginning healed each other. So, you know, they stamp a license and certification on everything. To me, it's just about money. Because the only thing that separates me from the average person, I've had plenty of people rub on me that's not, you know, certified or licensed, and I think the only difference between them and myself is, you know, the schooling, the classroom hours, the certification and stuff. So, you know, but that is important. You do have to know where to and where not to touch certain areas. Like on pregnant women, you can't massage their ankles. That can induce, you know, labor. You rub on their belly, it may induce labor. Between their fingers, induce labor. So certain areas like that, you know, you want to stay away from. You just want to get knowledge of, because you can't, you know, harm some people. Elderly, you know, you want to be extra gentle with them. But other than that, like I said, it's not the most natural form of healing you can have.
Right. That is true. And definitely healthy relationships is very, very, very important that we really need to promote more so, because healthy relationships, and you can rely on each other for support, definitely helps you with the spiritual union.
But, you know, not only that, sister, is if you want to bring relationships up, it does bring closeness. You know what I'm saying? It's that intimacy between that couple. So, I mean, it helps you get through, you know, those rough issues. You know, in the middle of an argument,
say,
baby, you want a massage?
You'd be less stressed out, because I'm telling you,
right,
if you have a negative relationship, you probably have all kind of kinks in your neck and in your back.
You know that expression, you know that expression, you're a pain in my ass? That's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Expound on that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But, yeah, it is important, though. It definitely is important that, you know, we begin to start dabbling and tapping into different things that we have, you know, will experience. So, because, like, again, like, this year is about wellness and healthiness. So we have to touch on these different topics. I have someone in the chat room that just texted me. They have a question, and then they want to also say that this, y'all said this is wellness and all of that. So if it's on wellness, they had a question on the terms of on relationships.
Okay.
Female and male relationships. They wanted to ask about that. They wanted to know. Let me read this clear. I'm trying to reword it because they have it differently within the chat room. So I guess they're going to rewrite the question. But at any rate, they asked, what would you define as a healthy relationship, a female and male healthy relationship?
Well, I tell you what, anything that doesn't make you feel good is not healthy.
That's true.
That's your view of that person you're with. That is your conversations, discussions, your regular routine. If it doesn't make you feel good, it's not healthy. That simple.
Okay. And then they have part two to that question. I guess it's a brother, by the way. He told me not to say his name, so I won't say his name, but it's a brother.
Okay, brother.
he wants to know, why is it that a lot of men won't commit to relationships?
You know,
that's one of the things.
I have different ways I can answer this. I'm going to leave my own personal opinions out.
Okay, right.
I mean, a lot of it is fear. Any time that you can't do something full force is fear or lack of confidence. Maybe you know, a lot of brothers feel like, you know, they can't handle what the situation is. Maybe it's that particular woman. Maybe it's, okay, if I get in this relationship, she might have kids. Kids may come. You know, I have to be responsible. You know, I'll be outside of my comfort zone. I mean, a lot of it basically, to me, just boils down to fear. I'm telling you,
yeah,
I haven't been in a relationship. I've been single for 5 years. And the reason why I haven't committed to a relationship, because I just fear of the things that I would have to go through that I have been through before. And I'm just not ready to take that chance. You know, I'm not ready to say it may be better, it may be worse. It's just more comfortable just to be where I'm at. Because, see, every day I know when I come home, I don't have to answer to anyone. I know every morning when I wake up, I can go do what I want to do, you know, and I'm just comfortable. So for me to get in a relationship, I would not only have to step out of my comfort zone, but I would have to rearrange my thoughts and my life and everything else to fit somebody else in, because it wouldn't just be me anymore.
Well, that is really, I like the way you put that. And what I'm glad about is the fact that you mentioned you as a black woman, or
right,
as an African Nubian. You know, we call ourselves so many different things. But I'm so glad that you didn't make mention of that, because in a lot of times, I know that we just say, like that brother said, he said, why men? You know, and it's not just the man that is not ready for, that doesn't commit, because it is some sisters out there that aren't ready for commitment as well. So I think that's really positive that you did mention that and you did answer that. Yeah, let me see, the brother said you answered it for him. Thank you.
Okay.
So I'm trying to see, do we have any more guests, anybody else that probably may have a question for our co-host or for me? Let's see. Just to continue on, I'm going to take another call in a minute. We do have somebody with their hand up, but continue on. Because I'm trying to get a couple more subjects in before we start really taking more calls. Because I know Sister Lady Freedom was going to call in, because, you know, we were talking about gardening and black farmers, and I knew that would definitely prompt her to call. So if we can get some more things in.
Well, you know, also part of wellness is we need to learn how to take care of ourselves, because even me being a single mother, I spend time, you know, my days is divided by, I have to work, you know, I have to, you know, do housework, I have to take care of my children, and by the time I realize it's time for me, it's time to go to bed, and then wake up, and then, you know, that's the routine that I find myself in over and over and over. And even on my social events or when I go out, it's always about business. So it's never anything that I can do to just relax and just, you know, get to know myself, because I'm going to tell you, the most important thing for an individual is knowing who you are and what you want. So that way, you know what you have to offer to another person, or you know what you're lacking that you need from another person. And I believe that's an issue in a lot of relationships, because I'm a firm believer, you cannot love a person the way you want to love them. You have to love that person how they need to be loved, because you can be a person that can offer, you know, your partner the world, but if all they need is your time, all that other stuff is irrelevant, you know. And you just have to, and that's the purpose of dating. And I always say, you know, you date, you have to have that period where you get to know each other. And like I said, I cannot stress enough how important it is to know yourself. And you will be surprised how many people really don't know themselves. Even though you live with yourself daily and you look in the mirror daily, you really don't know what your desires are. And that's important. And you have to take time out. I mean, it's okay to sneak away and go get a hotel room and just hide from the world, you know, one night and just get your thoughts together, or, you know, just run around naked, or, you know, just lounge and just do whatever you want to do and forget the world exists, you know. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I spoil myself.
Okay.
But you have to.
That's true. I have somebody else in the chat room, a guest. They're not even announcing that name. They're right there in the chat room, and they wanted to know, let me read this. they basically want to know what do you think about having productive relationships inside of a revolution? Is that possible to have a mate when you're trying to fight against, you know, the system, the powers that be?
I believe, yeah, but you know what? You have to be on the same level of understanding. You know, you can't be in a revolution and say, look, I'm fighting for you, and then have your mate say, just chill, you know, don't worry about it. You know, you just can't be on different levels like that. You have to search from within, because if you opposite, you know, it's going to take a lot more energy for you to continue on that fight. You know, it's already hard enough to get out there and knowing what you have to battle with and deal with daily. But if the first thing you deal with when you wake up in the morning is that lack of understanding of why you're doing it, you know, you're just, that's a different world within itself. So, yes, I believe it's possible to have a mate, but I believe your mate should be on that level of understanding that you have.
Oh, absolutely. But I definitely think, because I know it's hard when you're trying to fight and then that other person isn't really trying to fight with you, and they just be like, I support you, but, you know, they're not getting into the trenches with you. And that's
right.
Really important that, you know, we are on the same page. If you're not on the same page with your mate, I don't exactly know how that functions. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, it probably could function, but I don't think it does look like it works in most cases.
I mean, you know what? You have to work extremely hard to keep it together. I mean, extremely hard, above and beyond the average, you know, strength or power you have to put into a relationship. Because, like I said, you're steady trying to convince that person why you believe in what you believe in, and why you're fighting. So if you have to convince the person you lay next to every day, how is anybody else, especially your opponent, going to believe in anything you say? How are they going to take you at your word, because you can't even have your other half, your shadow, you know what I'm saying, to believe in what you're believing in your cause. So, you know, that's just a hard thing for me to see.
That is. But let's see. We definitely need to get into, we talked about holistic things, and we talked about building nations and having nations. You know, part of building nations and having nations is definitely, you know, procreating, definitely having children. And I know that, you know, since the 60s, or even well before then, but I would say 60s was definitely a huge experimental time for our people, that involved our people, that were against our people, and that's creating these different forms of self-destruction through the so-called birth control, which was the family health clinics, the so-called free clinics that, you know, remained in our neighborhood. Although I'm not talking about the free clinics within the Black Panther Party that the Black Panther Party helped establish. I'm not talking about those clinics. I'm talking about the death clinics, these OPG clinics, and, you know, they said it's designed for our, you know, people and for our health, you know, which it definitely brought us down on so many levels. Because of these different birth control pills that causes us cancer, you know what I mean, these experimental drugs they're using to sterilize our children. And in some cases, they sterilize women without, you know, women knowing.
Right.
And
I am victim to that. And I'm just putting it out there so everybody knows it does exist. You know, when I had my fifth baby, they decided, I guess, I had enough, you know, so they went ahead and they tied my tubes without my knowledge. And when I found out and I questioned it, you know, it was a matter of, oh, we can't find the records, or we can't, you know, we don't know who did it and type thing. So, you know, it's a big issue I'm dealing with now, but that's definitely out there. So if any of you sisters was popping babies and all of a sudden you stop, you might want to check your body, or, you know,
yes,
figure out what happened.
Yeah, it definitely has to be talked about in our communities. And definitely, you know, because they have this thing where if you're on Medicaid, what they do is, you know, on your last child, let's say you on your probably your third or fourth child, they'll come to you, you know, they'll have your OBGYN, especially if you're going to these free clinics, well, so-called used to be free clinics, you know, because they're not free anymore. But they will come to you on the terms of, hey, you know, if you don't want to have any more children, Medicare actually pays to tie your tubes for you. So they'll come off like it's free and everything, and then you go and get this done. But and to be honest with you, it messes up your body, not just from having children, but when you have your menstrual cycles. That clearly messes you up. And then you have, then it quickly, it speeds you up also to menopause. So whereas you probably wouldn't be hitting your menopause if you was like 50 or 60, you'll be hitting your menopause a lot earlier, probably in your 40s. Because based upon that, because that takes out the natural electricity out of your body, and it slows down your hormones. So that's some things that we really, you know, as black women, we really need to stop, you know, tying our tubes, you know, tying our tubes, fallopian tubes, blocking the tubes, whatever you want to call it. But we really need to stop doing that because it definitely messes with us eventual long run, even if you don't want to start. You want to stop having children, you may want to rethink that because in a lot of cases, you know, you might, you know, when you're younger, you may feel one way, and then when you 10 years later, you're more mature to deal with situations a lot differently. Just like you raised your children prior to that, you raised your children differently than compared to how you would because you mature. Because a lot of us did grow up with our children, you know what I mean? We probably had our children at younger ages, and a lot of us have gotten married, you know, in our teens, and we really, you know, we wasn't as mature as we, you know, become, you know, over the years. You know, even after 5 years, you should be more mature than you was 5 years prior to that. So that's some of the things that we really, really have to begin to discuss as sisters. We have to start doing things more on a holistic value because it's killing us, and we shouldn't allow anyone to make decisions for us because, it, you know, at 18 and 19, there's no way we should be tying our tubes or getting these implants. I forget what they're called, but these implants that they wrap a ring around your fallopian tubes so you don't get pregnant for the five-year plan is what they technically call it. But yet, it's messing up men as well because once you're having sex with that female, it does hurt that man with those rings. I forget what they call them, but, you know, the five-year plan, sis, that it is really messing us up. So we really have to practice a different form of birth control that's not going to kill us because, again, those birth control pills do cause us cancer and all kinds of things. And then along with your eating habits, because you know you're not eating carrots, you know what I mean? You know you're not eating holistically, so why, you know, take something that, you know, you see these commercials, you know, you see these commercials, they'll say, I mean, you really look at these commercials, it's crazy, and people still get them. They'll say, like, can cause blood clots. Okay, blood clots is like death. You get so many of them, you know, and then they say, oh, causes stomach pains. Causes headaches, causes you to pass out, maybe dizzy. You know what I mean? And then one commercial, I swear, it says may cause a heart attack. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it probably didn't say that. But it probably said like heart attack.
I'm telling you because I really think about it. Like, and then up on my research because I had to write a paper. They talked about the way that they get stuff passed through the FDA is crazy. Do you know it's still a trial for like 11 years? Mm. You know what I mean? They go through so many different phases. They go through the pretrial, you know, which is they have the clinical pretrial. And what the clinical pretrial consists of them just testing that out on people. So it could be like 100, like 10 to 100 or more people that they test it out to see if it works. And these different people can have different ailments or not have different ailments. And they're trying it out on them. And then they're seeing how that works, okay? So people can drop dead during these pretrials, but they don't really mention it. You know what I mean? Then you know, after that happens, or whatever effect that they have from that, they'll write it down. Now, mind you, some of our people have gone through these pretrials on different levels, but do you, in some cases, they probably don't even take the stuff and they're just writing down what they want to write down, you know what I mean, because they want their money, because they're getting, you know, some money for this, and they're getting free, you know, health care, different, you know, free perks, so-called perks in this thing of killing themselves. So they go through that, and then once they go through their pre-trials, and then they go through the patent stage, and then they go through all these different phases, but it takes up to 11 years before, and still, guess what? It's still on the market. It's still on the market even during these times. What it'll say is either FDA approval or not. And sometimes they only be approved by the FDA, and they'll still say it's approved by the FDA. But, you know, pharmacies, is a big business nowadays. So that's the thing. That's why we have to begin to start living and breathing holistically, because these drugs that they're giving and providing for our people are really not good.
Yeah, that's correct. And you, like, you really don't know what's going into those drugs. See, my daughter's uncle used to work for Merck Pharmaceuticals up in New Jersey, and even 3 years after him leaving that job, you know, he still had people following him and, you know, bugging his phone and popping up and, you know, stuff like that, because he actually knows the formulas and the recipes to a lot of their medicines. So, and my point in saying that is that's how serious this business is to them, that they're making sure he's not, you know, selling their secrets or talking to anyone or giving this information away, because they don't want anyone else to know what they're putting in these drugs.
Well,
I take juice. Like, if I'm not feeling well, I start juicing everything. And I sleep, because the number one way your body is going to rejuvenate itself is rest.
Sleep. Exactly. Rejuvenation. But I have a person in this chat room, and I'm going to answer their correct question in the chat room, but I'm going to answer the question on the radio as well. They asked, is the new Black Panther Party violent? No, new Black Panther Party is not violent. I don't know where you get that from. Like, then he tried to throw in there, like, the 60s. No, the Black Panther Party of the 60s and the 70s was not violent, you know. So I had to answer that, sister. So just, you know,
but
I had to ask.
Right, but that's just lack of education. You know,
exactly.
You have to learn the history. You have to learn the history on why the Panther Party even came into existence. You know, and truth be told, had they not, where would we be now? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Because they had to come in and say, wait a minute, hold up. Y'all tripping. We can't, you know, we ain't going to deal with this no more. And we have to fight and defend for our people. That's not being violent. That's defending.
To every reaction, there is a reaction.
Exactly.
And it's against the laws of the jungle. If you go, everything is a defense. So if you go and hit a tiger, I mean, no, let me be realistic. If a snake, well, I shouldn't say a snake. What should I say? If another animal tries to attack a lion, of course the lion is going to, you know, try to take his head off. And that's a defense, you know. Black people, for so long, we've been told not to defend ourselves against people, but we have to. It's a jungle instinct. It's just a human instinct for someone that attacks you, someone hits you, whether you're going to hit them back or whether you're going to, you know, walk the other way or whatever you decide to do, it's still a defense mechanism. You know what I mean? It's still some type of defense. You have to set up some type of defense. And just because you defend yourself does not mean that you're violent. It means that you are smart.
It's
dumb to just stand there and let someone, you know, take advantage of you. It's a natural reaction. And that's just how it is.
Even that's not human nature. I mean, because if someone jumps at you, you're going to flinch. You know,
exactly.
That's your body's way of preparing itself to defend itself. So that's just
exactly.
Human nature, anyway, to just defend yourself. And, you know, basically, we were left with no choice. We were basically left with no choice to defend ourselves. because just how we were getting treated and how they were raping our women and, you know, taking our children and locking them up and things like that, we had to, you know. And, you know, that do kind of just, you know, take me up a little bit because I feel like, you know, before you know what I'm saying, start looking at it or question that should have been something that should have been researched and, you know, looked up.
Really, they should question why the state is so far on putting black people in jail or in the grounds. That really should have been a better question. But, you know, it's no telling who you know, agent provocateur or whatever else could have, you know, wrote that. But I really had to say that on air. It really wasn't worth us responding to, but, you know, a lot of times we do need to ask these questions because some of our people, I don't care about what the white men or the powers that be think, but some of our people do need to know and have better information. But I'm going to go ahead and take this caller. He's been having his hand up for, he's been really patient. So I'm going to go ahead and take him. 973-592. You're on Black Power Radio.
Black Power Queens, this is John Farad. Concerning the abortion and birth control issue, Sister Lady Freedom on the line still?
No, she's not.
Okay, well, the reason I wanted to just let you know that a little over 2 weeks ago, I had the
mm-hmm.
privilege of covering the Congressional Black Caucus Convention in Washington,
mm-hmm.
D.C., where I live, and they had a workshop titled Planned Parenthood and African American Women's Reproductive Rights. And one of the panelists was Gabrielle Union. And so at the end of the program, I asked the question to Ms. Union and celebrity. I said, why is there an apparent attempt to get black women across the world, but specifically in Africa and in America, to practice birth control? And another brother behind me had spoke, and he mentioned my opera. I think the movie was My Opera 24, My Opera 45, and he gave the history of Margaret Sanger. And the sisters, the majority of the sisters in that room, black women, had attacked them. They almost attacked me, but I got them off me. But they literally verbally attacked him and ridiculed him. And I'll be brief. A black female.
Wait a minute, Brother Dashaun, real quick. I want, before you ask that question, because you did bring up, that's a good point. I'm glad you called in. However, when you said they tried to attack you because of what you were saying or because were defending?
Because of what we were saying, but they didn't really come at me. Gabrielle Union kind of got a little hostile.
Okay.
You know, that's how she is in person anyway. But they actually came at him verbally. They literally laughed at him. They started jumping on his case because we both mentioned Margaret Sanger. And so
mm-hmm.
when he had stated, actually, just to let you know, this particular brother, he always supports Panther events, very good brother, but what tripped him up was when he had said that birth control is the number one killer of black babies. He shouldn't have said that. He should have said abortion, but they had already had a problem. So when they verbally attacked him, it was a black preacher who was advocating birth control, you know, because I asked the question before that, why are most of the Planned Parenthood clinics and abortion clinics in black neighborhoods? Okay, given the history of Margaret Sanger, so this particular sister, who's a black pastor, she had said that a lot of misinformation is going around about Margaret Sanger, and people are misinforming black people about her, saying that we went to Margaret Sanger because we couldn't go to anywhere else. Okay, so there seems to be a lot of, there is misinformation going around about Margaret Sanger, but it's concerning
mm-hmm.
that trying to glorify her and make her a saint. Hello?
Yeah, we're still here. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, no, I was saying, I don't like being long with this.
No, finish your point. Go ahead.
I did finish my point concerning, you know, I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not finished my point. I'm sorry, sisters. One more thing. A lot of you black folks who are praising Bill Gates and his wife for giving money to the minorities, Bill Gates is also a part of the population control efforts in Africa
mm-hmm.
because in 2006, the summer of 2006, I was at a meeting of people who were advocating population control at the National Press Club in D.C., and there was a woman from Johns Hopkins University who worked with Bill Gates, and at this meeting, they were specifically population control in Africa, mm-hmm. saying that there were too many people on the planet. But when I asked the question, why wasn't population control being advocated in Europe, as I said 2 weeks ago, okay. it didn't get a very positive response.
Of course. Of course not.
Sure.
I've seen a show just recently that they had that they talked about in Africa about the very thing of population control, but they didn't call it population control. Basically, they were talking, trying to get Africans to no longer marry young, to to marry at the ages of 15, and under. And they also talked about not having, giving them forms of birth control and trying to have them to practice it and basically and sterilizing them as well on top
yes.
of that.
I just want to say briefly, whenever you hear people say that there's too many people, there's not enough resources, first of all, always remember that our African ancestors, as well as our Native American ancestors, taught two things. One, the earth was made to last for however long we needed it. But secondly, if you take care of the earth will take care of you. You have all these country clubs and all these biochemical plants and these chemical facilities, pharmaceutical facilities, and these playlands, these amusement mm-hmm. parks. You're saying that there's not enough resources. So that's the excuse. Okay, but fine. Let's just say for the sake of argument that resources are limited. Once again, why are black women and black people specifically being asked to practice birth control?
Exactly.
That's the question
but
that we need to ask.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm finished. I'm finished with that statement.
But it's like really, really important. I mean, if you look at the senators' salaries, if you begin, and then, they're getting cutbacks and payoffs and things like that, and then, they're getting campaign money and all kinds of funds, that they allocate. But if you also look at the so-called athletes, I mean, they're getting like $3 million a game, what I mean?
Yeah.
They get in, and they're not just the athletes, but they're coaches and, the sport industry as a whole. And then the actors for making these dumb movies that's killing us as well.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And all these different things, but yet, we don't have any funding for health care. Well, the United States, I should say. I shouldn't say we. But, they don't have health care. And, we don't get free health care. And we got to go to other countries to get free health care. You know what I mean? We got to lie. You know what I mean? And then we are the ones that are paying our taxes. That's why it's very, very important that we really begin and seriously know and work on getting and developing our own black congressional government. And, yes, within our own nation and building our own nation because, obviously, this particular United Snakes of America does not want us here. And that's the bottom line. And nor do most of us don't want to be here anyway. So we do have to begin to establish our own governments and different things like that. Okay. Oh, but John, do you have anything else you want to add before?
Well, I'm just going to say beware of Bill Gates because him and his wife, those of you that want to praise Bill Gates because he's giving it to us colored folks, money to us colored folks, his organization, that's what they're doing in Africa as we speak. They are advocating population control in Africa, okay? And there's a difference between, just to let you know, of course, as people of that, the argument that was used at that particular workshop in D.C. was, Africans always had a way of practicing birth control. That was the justification. There's a difference between birth control, Planned Parenthood, and killing your baby. Black folk didn't engage in killing babies. We had natural ways of practicing contraception without killing our brothers and sisters. All that stuff, you didn't start hearing stuff about the world being too overpopulated until the corporate oligarchs and plutocrats came in power when they wanted to cut down numbers so that they can have a greater control over the world's population, specifically black people, and that was it.
Definitely. Well, we do thank you for calling us Black Power Radio. If you have nothing else, I'm going to go ahead and mute your mic. If you have something else to say, press 1 again. But I'm going to go ahead and mute your mic. But anyway, thank you for calling in, brother. Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power.
Okay, that was interesting to know. A lot of us, you know, didn't know about Bill Gates. Of course, I mean, that's not nothing new on the sun. I mean, that's not something that's far-fetched, what he said, because, I mean, look at, you know, he's a cracker. I mean, so I don't put nothing past none of them. The white man is the devil. So, I mean, it's what it is. But I am glad he called in and did say about that. Oh, wow. Okay, this person, these folks in the chat room, this person says, are you familiar with Ashanti Osada? Ashanti Osada. And then they asked about Black Liberation Army prisoners of war, of course. And they're talking about, I'm trying to see what the question is. Yes, we are. And then they asked about, okay, so they comment about Really Amazing Voice for Liberation. Okay. I thought I seen that they had another question. Okay, no, I don't really see a question. Let me see. I thought I seen one. Anyway, sisters, that was really some great information that he did provide about what's going on. I suppose we had this brother call in that was going to discuss the mental state of our people at this stage and what we can do differently, you know, to provide to help our people with the mental state. We definitely, if we don't talk about that tonight, we definitely need to, that's going to be a next week's discussion plan. We definitely really need to begin to talk about those kinds of things because a lot of our people are in danger. We're not only suffering from post-traumatic slavery, but we're also suffering from your general things that we have to deal with as Black people, not being able to feed our families. It's a little bit tougher now than it more so was before, but, I mean, it's not something that we haven't been dealing with throughout the centuries. It's probably, I really should say it's a white man's problem because we've always been broke. So we always had to struggle because we're here in America.
Right.
So I guess probably not as bad a problem. It's just a point that it hit the white man. I guess that's what makes it more of a problem. But we have to begin to just, you know, create more economics for our people. We have to begin to just see things more clear. You know, wherever there's a need, we just create an opportunity. And that's how we develop our business. So whatever the need is, we develop an opportunity and a business from that.
All right.
So we definitely – I'm trying to think, is this brother – I want to call on 501-410. You're on Black Power Radio. I think this is the brother. Black Power. Hello? Black Power. Okay, this may not be the brother. I'm going to go ahead and mute that mic again. Okay, sister, but go ahead and expound on that, if you would, just on what you know about mental health, because you have to, I'm sure you run into that a lot.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Post-traumatic slave syndrome, definitely. I suggest everybody get a copy of that, and check it out, check the systems they have to say. But our people have suffered, you know, and look over the history. A lot of times, like I said, my grandparents from the Delta of Mississippi, every time I go home, I'm ready to cry, you know, because it's just all the realization of what we had to go through over here still somewhat exists there. I live it every day here in Virginia, and it's sad because, you know, so many of our people here in Virginia didn't realize that that form of slavery is over and we're in a different form. But, you know, as far as your mental health, I believe that a lot of situations that we are placed into, they want to break us because, like I said earlier, if your mind's not right, nothing else is. So, you know, we're steady placed in different situations and positions to try to break our mind power, because really if we all got on the same accord and we all had the same thought pattern, we would take over, you know.
But now they want to diagnose our children with, you know, you hear everybody has bipolar these days. You know, they told me my son, when he was 9 years old, they put him on medication, told me he was borderline schizophrenic. But once they put him on the medication, that's when he started doing all that crazy stuff. So they're quick. They're even giving your regular doctors, your children's doctors, the ability to prescribe these, you know, mental medications because they want to take away from what we have naturally, you know.
That's, and you know what,
go ahead.
And to add to what you're saying, do you know that the children doctors are not supposed to subscribe mental medication?
Right, that I know. But they're doing it. They're getting away with it.
Yeah, they're not supposed. It's like two different doctors. It's just like OBGYN, you know, working on your teeth.
You know what I mean?
That's like two different, you know, bottoms of the barrel. You know, it's not the same type of, specialty.
Oh,
that's why it's called specialist. You know, that's why they have different specialists.
Right. Well, all you have to do is go in and tell your doctor, well, you know, my child, you know, they're not sitting down watching TV like I want them to. They're always in my face. They're bothering me. Maybe because they just need attention, you know. Maybe it's because all this sugar you're feeding. You know, maybe it's their regular diet. Maybe it's the sleep you're not getting. You're letting, you know, more and more people are allowing children to go to sleep with their TVs on. And that just disrupts your sleeping pattern. I mean, there's so many different issues that you can try to figure out what's wrong with these children versus just saying, okay, well, you know, I'm going to say your child has ADHD or they're bipolar or they, you know, have whatever, so let me give you some Ritalin, let me give you some Zoloft, let me give you some, you know. I'm going to tell you the funny thing. About 10 years ago, they, you know, because when I went through my situation with my children, they diagnosed me as being very, very, very severe bipolar. So they put me on this, you know, I was on the Prozac. The Prozac made me want to go out and fight everybody, so I was constantly getting fights. So they took me off that, and they put me on Zoloft and Depakote.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, I couldn't sleep. So I'm like, I went 19 days in a row with no sleep of this medication. So,
and how can you heal yourself if you can't sleep?
Right, exactly. But instead of taking me off that medication, they added, you know, a sleep aid to me. So now I'm drugged up at night. You know, I was basically like in a coma. I couldn't do anything. And if the house burned down, I was sitting there, I wouldn't care, because it do take away the depression, but it takes away your ability to feel anything anyway. So you're just like a zombie. And I told myself when I got off that medicine, I wasn't going to get on anything else. And if I have bipolar, I'm doing, you know, a very good job of dealing with it day to day. So a lot of that telling you, you know, they want to nickname all these different emotions you have with different labels and then give you medication for it. A lot of it is just because it's just we don't know how to handle things that we're dealing with. See, I talk a lot, so I get my frustrations out a lot.
Exactly. You have to.
Right. So that's how I heal. You know, but some people, you know, you have some people that was raised and taught, you know, keep it to yourself. You know, you can't cry. You can't feel this way. You can't feel that way. We're humans, and we were born with all emotions, you know, so it's okay to express those emotions when you need them, because a lot of people that have bad tempers, if you notice, they walk around and they hold stuff and they don't talk and they don't know how to handle things, and then they just explode. It's just like a pressure cooker. When it gets too much steam in there, it's just going to pop. So
that is true.
So that's why the meditation, even the yoga, the exercising, that helps you with your mental state, because it gives you an outlet and it helps you decipher, you know, the different thoughts that you have in your head.
Well, one of the things I know that that they have given throughout the years, they had given women, what is it called? I'm trying to think, a Paxil. Paxil, P-A-Z-I-L, Paxil.
Paxil basically makes you, if you have children that are born, if you're pregnant while taking it, which they try to tell you, hey, it's safe, you can take while you're pregnant. That's a lie. Because what happens, and it's normal for you to go through different range of emotions during pregnancy,
right.
Number one. So throughout the Paxil, number one, the Paxil makes you suicidal, okay? That's what they don't tell you. Okay, so if I'm depressed, why would you give me an antidepressant that wants me, that makes me want to kill myself?
But truth be told, most antidepressants make you more suicidal because, you know what it does? It makes you slow down to where you can only think about your problems. You just can't react to them. So it makes you want to die more. You know, you just don't have the energy to do it. That's the only difference. It takes away the energy and the ability to do it, but you're still thinking about it.
Exactly. And then it causes birth defects in babies. That's why they're trying to take that off the market. And they're trying to take, what was that other drug that you named?
Zoloft?
That too. They're trying to take those two off the market.
Right.
And, like, if anybody has any problem, anybody had any children with those birth defects, you'll have a lawsuit. You have any type of birth defects from that, from those mental medications, I would put it all in, and you could actually have a lawsuit against that. So that's another thing that really, really has to be discussed. So women who are pregnant and non-pregnant, please do not take these medications. There are some herbs out there that will help you deal with so-called depression, and not just, you know, these different forms, like the like Sister Seltzer said, the co-host, she stated about talking it out, writing it out, creating some type of form. Because I know, especially as revolutionaries, I know a lot of times we become depressed because of all the different things that we have to deal with in working with black people. I'm sorry, I love y'all, but it's the truth. So we have to begin to detox. You know, we have to start back detoxing, yoga, meditation, like Sister said, massages, doing things to help us feel good. And also, let me tell you, one of the herbs that I know of that is excellent for depression is St. John wort.
Yeah.
So we can definitely use that. And it's natural, and you don't have to have a prescription for it. You can just take it, and it really helps with that. It makes you happy. But you're not numb, and you still are able, you still realize that there's a problem there. It doesn't mess with you mentally on the terms of wanting you to kill yourself. It doesn't make you feel numb to a problem, which is not good either. So those things definitely help. Catnip. I know what y'all going to say. I know some of us are probably going to freak out when I say the herb catnip is definitely another. What do you think cats do? It's another herb that helps you with this type of thing, and we need to begin to make teas so we can stop using certain types of drugs, because I know a lot of us, too much of something is not always good, because I know a lot of us are into different types of drugs. I'm not going to mention it, but y'all know what I mean. It's wacky tobacco, because after a while, that slows you down mentally. It also numbs pain as well. So I know that's going to be a big thing. People are going to call in, oh, my God, what do you mean? It does eventually. Like, really do your research upon that and think about, especially if you do it too much. So these are things that we have to, and then it costs too much. It costs a lot of money, $10 every day. I mean, it does add up. You know what I'm saying? $10 every day. Or you might do $30 a day. I don't know. I don't know what your habit is. But it's definitely different things that we need to really start doing as black people. And then definitely just being honest with ourselves and realize what the problem is and research and find out about it and start working with different people. We do need, within our movement, we definitely need more therapists that can help us deal with some of our issues. And definitely, you know, there are books out there that I definitely want to mention. Like the sister said, Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, that they have a study guide for that as well as a book. And it's written by Dr. Joy Angela DeGruff. Then another book is called, well, this is not another book. If you can get any Queen of Fool books, you know, she talks about self-healing and healing thyself. And it definitely, mental health definitely comes from what you eat as well. I think a lot of us don't realize that, but if we constantly keep eating pork and we constantly keep eating wrong, then we're going to begin to think like the swine. So that's some things. And Dr. Africa definitely has some great books, and we definitely need to really
began to look at Dr. Fady. He definitely has some great things and tools that we can utilize. African Holistic Health, Devil's Red by Dr. Africa, so I want to mention that out there. And also the meditation that you can get in of the Tree of Life meditation system, the TOLM books. If we can get any book that Dr. Amin wrote, those are pretty good books because it teaches us not only, I mean, he has a series of books, you know, the Metanair, 1, 2, and 3, and then he talks about, like I said, the Tree of Life, and then the Afrocentric Guide to a Spiritual Union. He definitely wrote that book, and that definitely helps you with relationships. I mean, it is really way cheaper than going to a therapist to tell you how to run your African relationship, which in most cases, how is a white person going to teach me how to be African? I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, that's something to really think about. But anyway, sister, I won't take your son away. But
like I was saying earlier, anything that makes you feel good is the right thing to do. Anything that doesn't feel right is not healthy. And remember your five senses, and you want to please those five senses. You know, you want to, you know. And I know when I feel like I'm down, I like to go by the water. I live by the ocean, so I like to just go. I like to go sit by the water. Sometimes I howl at the moon. I crack everybody up. But, you know, it's not that I'm crazy or I think I'm a werewolf, but it's, you know, releasing that frustration as well. You know, you gotta allow nature to heal you and help you. I hug trees sometimes, too, because I'd rather hug a tree tight than knock somebody out and be in jail. You know,
so you're a tree hugger? That's crazy.
I am a tree hugger. Yes, I am.
That's fantastic.
I am a tree hugger, and I'm not ashamed to say it.
Right, there's nothing wrong with that, sis. Anything to stop a person from taking medications, it's all right with me. But I said it in good fun. But yeah, so I'm looking at this. I do want to kind of mention some things from this book because, you know, this is a pool of knowledge. You know, we should be learning from these blog talk shows. But it talks about in this book the post-traumatic slavery syndrome, which I had the pleasure to, where did I get this from? When I was in Detroit, we obtained this book, and it definitely talks about a couple of things that I kind of want to make a mention. It talks about, because we are talking about two things I want to kind of mention, two theories I want to kind of mention. One, it talks about child rearing and practice. And another point, it talks about problem solving and conflict resolution. So those things that, and daily regimen, physical regimen. So those are definitely things that it talked about in this book. And it talked about one of the questions it asks, it says, how do you view the role of the children in the family? So that's things that we have to begin to think about. Another one, it says, how does each member of the family view the role of the children in the family? Those are good questions. And these are the things that we've never really thought about. These are probably questions, because I know once you have multiple children, meaning more than one child, that it's always going to be that one child that feels like you didn't love them enough or they're not getting enough attention. That's why they start acting out. So here's another question, just throwing this, just kind of, you know, something that we have to consider as women. How do we communicate and interact with children in the family? And that's a good point, because you might be leaning toward one child more so. That child is not always right, you know, and that's the thing that we have to, you know, other children question, and they start to act out again as well in different ways. Then it says, how do we discipline the children in the family? How do or does each member in the family discipline the children in the family? That's another thing. The father might like one child more. It may appear that the father or the mother, vice versa. And that's things that we have to deal with. Or in a lot of cases, you know, within our, because we're black families, and most of us, we have grandmothers in the family. We have grandfathers in the family. Sometimes the grandmothers and grandfathers are raising the children, or they definitely participating in raising them because we are a black family. so we have to think about that. Then here's some more questions. How do or does each member of the family express approval and disapproval of the children in the family? And that could be detrimental if we, you know, discipline those on the lines of slavery. And y'all know what I mean, just brutality type of thing. You don't want to do them the same way that the pigs out there in the street do them. So it's just something that's another has to be consideration because you still want to discipline them and let them know that you love them. Here's another one. How do you encourage the children in the family? How does or do each member of the family and encourage children in the family? How do you reward the children in the family, and how does each member of the family reward the children in the family? So, you know, you definitely want to this is really good, though, because in a lot of cases, all children feel slighted if you reward a child, and we should always encourage and disencourage. That's why a lot of nations are more powerful than ours, is because we don't really encourage all our children, you know, to know that certain aspects, certain beauties within them, we want to try to bring them out. So if that child has signs that, because, you know, we need more doctors, we need more lawyers, and we need more people that believe in holistic health within our families as opposed to athletes because, again, you know, who the athletes actually playing for, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, that's a great hobby, you know, but I'm talking realistic. And, yeah, you can make millions of dollars, but, you know, who are you playing for exactly? You know what I mean? The white man's too. So not that I'm knocking sports. I'm not totally knocking sports, but I'm just making a point that we do need more. We need less athletes, less rappers. We need more people that can contribute to our nation, you know, less forms of entertainment. We need more forms of healing. So whether that be a therapist, a psychotherapist, whether that is a lawyer, doctor, just so many different things. People that know how to work on cars, mechanics. You know what I mean? We need trades. We need all our people to be able to do multiple ranges of things because, again, we're trying to build a nation. I don't know exactly. Maybe you could explain. I don't know exactly how we can build a nation
I am a firm believer in segregation. Like, I feel like we have to separate to educate because, and that's my opinion, but I feel like as long as I send my children to school, those white people, they going to teach my children what they need, what they want them to know to keep us from growing. And you're definitely right when you're saying we need less entertainment and more trade. But, you know, mm-hmm. One thing, you know, like my children, they never, you know, as they were growing up when I had them, you know, once they got back in my custody or whatever, I always, you know, I didn't teach my children to, you need name brand, you need this, you need that, whatever. I mean, we live comfortable. We don't live like the Joneses. We don't have to, you know, we live very simple, and we're content with that. And that's the mentality that a lot of us need because as long as we have the need and desire for everything new that comes out and we have to have top-notch this, top-notch that, you know, it's always going to be that ability to want to strive to be a millionaire or be rich. You know what I'm saying? Because you want to live that materialistic dream. And I think that's important as well to let children know that it's okay to live simple. You can still enjoy life. See, it's also important, and I noticed with me being a single mother, but young male, you know, I have to do the extracurricular activities. I have to go, you know, here and go there and stuff. And I'm noticing there's not a lot of brothers there that's supporting their children, understandably because they're not around for whatever reason, whether they're locked up or they're dead or they're just not in the picture. But it's not enough black men that's there supporting, you know, and it doesn't just have to be your child. I mean, it takes a village to raise a child. So even being a brother, you know, and you see a single, you know, you see a sister that's raising her children on her own, there's nothing wrong with stepping up and being a role model for those children without being involved with the mother. It's almost like, you know, a lot of our brothers, they don't want to deal with the children if they're not dealing with the mother, and that mentality has to be changed. You know, we have to start looking at the picture differently.
Yeah, we're saying nation building.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
If we say a nation building, you do not have to be with that mother to be in a child's life. I mean, you could, when I was growing up, because I'm a 70s child, I'm telling my age, but, you know, we called them uncles. You know, they were always a friend of the family. You know, we always called them uncles or aunties. You know what I mean?
But
and they were just really friends of the family.
We hardly see the friends of the families anymore. We really see the friends of the family. You know, it's just, it's to a point, like, everybody, you know what, I read something on Facebook the other day, and it was something, they said, they asked Dalai Lama what was his biggest shock or something, and he said man, because men work so hard, you know, to try to have money and jeopardizes his health to where he sacrifices his money to recuperate his health. See how everything just flip-flop. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of how we are. We work so hard to try to have, you know, and when we got it, we have to give it up to try to just, you know, re-get again. So it's just, you know, it's just how everything is put out there. Like, here at my house, we cut out TV because I don't want, you know, my family to see, you know, the Beyoncés and the Jay-Z's, because all they sit back and dream about who I want, one of those cars, and I want, you know, those shoes, and I want to go spend this and that. So now they're thinking about ways on how to get this money to live that lifestyle versus just trying to build a nation. See, younger people, they're not thinking about, you know, we need to build a nation. They're just thinking about what feels good to them. And
right now,
right now, mm-hmm. Exactly. And what feels good to them is just having a lot of money and just chilling. So when you get a lot of money and you chill, then what? You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? Then what?
You still ain't happy. You still ain't happy because you have not loved thyself first. You
right.
haven't begun to love thyself. You have just, like, tapped on, okay, riches, money. I'm all about, like them songs, I get money. You know what I mean? They just constantly, they don't say nothing about, well, I'm happy. They just like, I get money. That's all they say in these songs. So.
That's
and then,
it.
You know,
it.
You know what I want to mention, I want to throw out there, too. You know what puzzles me? And this is what I've been really, really thinking about, and I've been discussing this with my mate. A lot of this music out here, all of it sounds the same. If it's rap, it sounds like pop. If it's pop, it just sounds like pop. I mean, all music.
Right.
Growing up, it was a variety of different music, but now everything sounds like pop. So that, I mean, I know this is not, that is totally off the subject, but I really, since we talked about, you know, rap and stuff,
it's not off the subject because it's just another form of brainwashing. If you hear something enough, you're going to believe it. And if all you're hearing about is, you know, money, that's all you believe life is about is money. You know, not health, not love, not family, not rebuilding a nation is money, you know. I mean, like I said, these kids, they go to bed with the TVs on. They're hearing that in their subconscious when they're sleeping. You know, that's the first thing they're thinking when they wake up in the morning. At school, you know, you see the teachers walking in. They all blinged up and talking slang and, yeah, I got this and whatever else type thing. So it's just the way it looks at them.
It's a nursery rhyme. Even music sounds like nursery rhyme. And it keeps us. No, it does. So it's so you know, it's so quick and dumb and snappy that even our, you know, our 3 and 4 year olds, they don't even know how to say mama yet, but they know how to sing that Soulja Boy Slim song. You know, it's like really embarrassing.
You know what? I'm gonna tell you, and it's a little bit off the subject, but last year, my daughter had to do, you know, they don't like to call it Black History anymore. So
what do they call it now? In school?
I don't know what they call it, but this is what the teacher told my children. She said, I want you to pick a person that you look up to or admire and do a report on it. So that way, you know, the white kids, they didn't have to do any research on Black people. You know, they could just stick with their regular white folks they be doing, but anyway. So my daughter did Bob Marley, you know. So she sung her little Three Little Birds and stuff. So I was a sister next to me, and she got up. Her daughter, now mind you, our daughters are like 4 years old. Her daughter gets up, and she does her project on Nicki Minaj. And I mean, my mouth stayed open for about 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? And the mother, she got her dressed like you know, Nicki Minaj and stuff, and I'm like, this is crazy. So this is how we're educating our children. This is what we're teaching our children, because if you're teaching them at 4 years old, see, the first 7 years of their life is when they learn the most. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. So if you don't plan that then, I mean, you headed out, you headed for destruction. Anyway.
Wow, sister. I can believe it, but yet it's still shocking nevertheless. You know what I mean? It's still shocking nevertheless. Okay. I'm going to go on to these next questions, which we talked about. First, we dealt with child-rearing practices. Now I'm going to ask, was it in this book they have certain ones designed? So they have said problem-solving, conflict, and resolution, which we clearly need in the Black community.
Right.
We always talk about problems we have. This is the problem. That's the problem. Especially when we're talking about joint organizations. That's the first thing that I heard. People say, you know, when they're trying to come into New Weapons Park, well, y'all ain't got this. Well, y'all ain't got that. I don't like the way this is run. I don't like the way that's run. Okay, well, damn it, change it. You know what I mean? What is your solution to this problem? So that's the things that we as Black people, we need to realize what problem solving is. And that's some of the things we need to come with the solution, you know, and I think that's like a clear problem, you know. I remember a show that we did where I had the panel to talk about solutions to problems that we have in our community. And I think we definitely, you know, this is a year for wellness. So upon considering wellness, I think we need to really tap into problem-solving skills. And we talk about how to do it and where to do it and why we're going to do it and here's the solution. So I think that we need to, I know next week, sister, you and I discussed maybe having a police brutality show for next week, which is dealing with one of our objectives of the New Black Panther Party, but also dealing with one of the points of the New Black Panther Party. This is part of our platform, which we really have to get into, because everything that we do, we basically try to do things around our 10-point program and our 9 local objectives, and wellness is definitely incorporated when it talks about health, because that's one of our points. And health does go to the mental aspect, it does go to the physical aspect, and it goes to just so many things. How can you actually be a warrior or a fighter if you can't maintain? And this goes along with problem solving, definitely. How can you be a great leader or a great, not just a great leader, but, you know, a soldier or a warrior, you have to have effective problem solving skills. And we really need to talk about that as well. And when we talk about our police brutality segment next week, we definitely are going to have some points on what to do when you're pulled over by the police and things like that. We're going to discuss that next week. So next week, tune into next week's show as well. That'll be an interesting show. Problem solving, like we're saying, how do you problem solve? How do or does each member of your family problem solve? And these are the things we have to teach our children. We really have to teach them how to problem solve, not the way that the white man wants us to do it, but the way that we should do it as African or Black people or more, or whatever you want to call yourself, but, you know, people of our stature.
Right.
How do you deal with conflict? How do or does each member of your family deal with conflict? And that's very important. So if they see a father, every time he gets mad, he just open hand slaps the woman in the mouth. I mean, that's not exactly problem solving, and that child is seeing it. The daughter is seeing it, and she thinks that she's supposed to be beat, or she does the beating with her people. And when she gets older, that's not exactly problem solving. Or, you know, the effect that it has on a young Black male, you know, it's not really effective as well. And it's not also dealing with problem solving, not just being quiet about it, because by nature we are freedom fighters. By nature, we oppose a lot of things. By nature, we're not even talking about, like, I'm training you how to oppose something. No, we're talking about by nature, we oppose things that aren't holistic, that aren't righteousness. So we have to begin to reinvent, or we have to reestablish that type of work with our children, within our families, within our mates.
even with our men, we have to teach our men how to problem solve, and we have to teach ourselves all over, just like babies. And there's nothing wrong with that, because we are looking at it from a third eye. We're not on the same pathway that we was 10 years ago or 5 years ago or even a second ago. We have to begin to look at things more along the lines of revolution, because we are revolutionaries, pan-Africanists, or, you know, culture. And some people might be culture nationalists. So even as a culture nationalist person, you should really begin to look at it from a different perspective. And once you come into, I don't want to say the light or consciousness, I hate using those terms, because I hate when people say conscious. Because, like, what is conscious? Are you just know a little bit more than the average bird? If you talk to the average bird might know more than you. So I don't know. As soon as you get some kind of knowledge or something, I don't know what to use for that. But let's say the moment you become a freedom fighter, I guess we can utilize that term, or some other term. Let's come up with one. But either way, we have to begin to start looking at things from a different perspective, because we are Africans. So these are things that we have to resolve. We have to stop talking about what the damn problem is. We should talk about what the problem is, but we as a nation should come up with the answers and solutions to what the problem is or how we can affect it. Now, I know that we might not have all the problem-solving answers. However, we should at least have steps to getting to that problem, even if we have to establish think tanks. Think tanks are very, very important, and that's another thing. We need to really, doing these talk shows, these blog talks, it'll be a waste of time if we're not going to talk about effective ways of solving some of the ills of our problems within our community. We can get the information out there, we can say this and that, but we also need to come with the information aspect. We need to come with the material of how to get there and how to get to point A, B, C, and D. And we definitely need to come with a solution on all of that, but we definitely need to expose the problem. You know, but we have to come up with solutions. We can't have talk shows anymore where we're just talking about this is a damn problem. You know? So, I mean, I don't know, sis. I do know. I need to stop saying that. But it's definitely becoming a problem within our family unit. We have, by nature, problem-solving skills. We just need to begin to come back into this, you know. I'm not just going to say to us that we don't. We picked on the problem is we picked on the problem-solving skills from the beast, from the powers that be, you know, from this Eurocentric system. We gathered our problem-solving skills from them, and we can't look at life like that no more. We are so much further than them. They stole it from us and just revamped it and made it non-African, you know?
Right.
So, anyway, sister, I'm going to let you expound on that.
I think a lot of the problem solving is support. Like, you know, we have been taught that, I see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil, so it is no evil type thing.
Right.
And sometimes we like to separate ourselves because we have that, if it's not my issue, I'm not dealing with it. Even if you go back to the murder of Emmett Till, you know, you look back how that murder went unpunished because nobody wanted to step in and do anything, because it was like, you know, that could happen to me. They had put so much fear in what could be that everybody kind of turned a deaf ear and blind eye to it. And that's one of the issues I think that we as a people have, is that we don't have each other back. You know, you see a sister in trouble, help. You see a brother in trouble, help. You know.
But how do we get, let me ask you a question, sis. How do we get more of our people to start having each other's back? How can we do that fundamentally? I know that's kind of one of those generalized questions, you know what I mean, that you know, that may be a difficult one to ask, but seriously, how do we obtain this?
I know. Do you know, I catch a headache every day trying to figure this out. I haven't mastered it yet. But I can't even really honestly answer that question. All I can say is, like I said, if you see a brother, sister, and help, then you take the initiative to do it. You know, at least if you get their trust, they may or may not return it. You know, you'll have some people that'll look at it like, you know, they got my back, I got theirs. You got some people like, they got my back, but I'm gone type thing. So we just have to change our own habits, you know, start reflecting on what we do. You know, are you helping? Are you offering advice? You know, sometimes people don't need anything from you but just something positive. If I come to you and I'm telling you, if I'm coming to you and I'm telling you, you know, this is what's going on in my life and it's just a mess and whatever, and you say, well, it's your own fault, that's not what I need to hear. You know what I'm saying? I already know. You're not telling me anything I don't know. Maybe I just need you to say, you know what, this is going to be okay. And that might give me enough energy or, you know, strength to go on to try to figure out what my next move is going to be. See, we do too much tearing each other down. And I would just say start off by speaking positive. Like, you know, the old saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, just don't say it.
That's true.
You know, type thing. Let's start there. Let's see if that works. Let's go a week and try to see if just us just speaking negative to each other might, you know, bring some positive, speaking positive to each other might reciprocate positivity back. Let's start there.
But sometimes our people really do need to hear the damn truth. Like, sometimes.
You say it in a positive way? Well, how about this? Stay with a smile.
Yes,
can you say
yes,
with a smile?
Yeah, I mean,
can you say the truth with a smile? You know, maybe they'll hear it. But at least if you smile while you're saying it, it won't feel so bad.
I know, but sometimes they just need to hear the truth, because sometimes it's just, like, it deludes them, because sometimes our people are, like, really delusional, and they just do stuff.
No, you're right. We live a life of delusion. That is no lie.
We got to be honest with our people. We got to stop giving them the blue pills. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know what I mean? I know we should be encouraging. I mean, you know, I say that.
I ain't saying lie to them people. I'm just saying, you know, don't beat them to the ground. You don't want to kick somebody down, you know.
I know. I agree. I mean, everything I'm reading and I'm studying, and I know we talked about, you know, positive things and everything. But at the same time, sis, it's like, okay, it's like, you know that your child can't play football. You know your child can't sing.
This is how I would do it, right? Because my daughter, she can't sing a lick. And she watched stuff like X Factor and American Idol, thinking she's going to be on there. And I'll just say, you know, you're so much more talented, you know, just talking to people. Why don't you just talk to people? Why don't you just be a speaker? You know what I'm saying? Something like that. Just try to kind of redirect where she's at. Because, yeah, you're right. She thinks she can sing. So to her, she can sing, but I'm not going to let my child go in front of millions of people to embarrass herself. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to allow her to do that. So what I'm going to do is try to look at her strength and focus on that. And like I said, anytime people, if you hear something enough, you start to believe it. You tell me every day I'm Superwoman, I'm going to believe I'm Superwoman. And won't nobody be able to tell me different after that point. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So it's just like, you know, it's just certain ways that you just have to come at people, because, like I said, anything that doesn't feel good, it's not good. If what you tell me don't feel good, I don't care if it's the truth or not. I'm not hearing it. I'm not receiving it. Because now, there we go, defense mechanism. I'm defending my emotions. So if you come at me and you're trying to hurt my feelings, not even trying to hurt my feelings, but you just being honest in a hurtful way, I still don't get what you're telling me, because now I done shut you out. Just tell me
what's
smiling, your voice.
So I'm just like, sister, you suck, but I'm smiling, you know?
Right.
I understand what you're saying. Yes, it is true. We do need to speak our truth. You do agree. We just need to be nice about how we say it. We need to say things in a nice way. But sometimes we can't say it. But sis, come on now.
This is what you do. You say, look, sister, I'm going to tell you this with love, but blah, 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 blah. Put the love out there first. Say this with love.
That's a defense mechanism right there. I'm already offended that you say I'm going to tell you this with love. I already know it's
Well, you know I'm doing it with love. Now, how you take it, I can't help it. You might need to work on that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just trying to help you out. That's it. I don't know what else to do.
Okay.
I wouldn't even hug you. If the truth hurt that much, I would even give you a hug. Come cry on my shoulder. Let me pat you a little bit, you know. Make it easy a little bit.
Yeah, I could understand this. I don't know. I might need to work on my skills of tactfulness.
Well, you don't know intimidating anyway, so if you'd be like, hey, look at here, you know, automatically, you know, they're doing something wrong. Even if you compliment them, they're going to take that, wait a minute, I done did something wrong. I ain't getting it yet, but.
Oh, wow. I need to really work on that. That's another thing we need to really work on, sister training, sisterhood training, sister love. I need to really work on that because I love my black sisters. I really, really do. I need to work on my relationship with our sisters. I mean, we all do. We all do. We need to heal from that. So
right.
I think
you know what I love? I love when I go out in public and I see mm-hmm. sisters, they just look gorgeous. You know, just, you know, got they, you know, fixed up, cute, looking nice. And I compliment them. You look nice. Because there's so many of us that go through life every day that just don't even care how we look, don't even put any time or effort into ourselves. We're just used to looking at that. So when we start seeing these sisters that shine, you know, if another sister that don't have herself together hear me complimenting this sister, then she go, you know, it might encourage her to pick herself up. Because, you know, I mean, it is true, you know, people do treat you according to how you look. And that's
yeah,
the
they
size,
do.
You know, so if you go out there looking rough, you won't get treated rough.
If you go out there looking like a...
And we're not like we used to be, you know. We're not like we used to be. We don't keep ourselves up like we used to. You know, it's more of a just, let's just
yeah,
get out here.
Yeah, because of the way they rest out sometimes. They teaching people to, they really are like, but you know what I've noticed? Now, I can't really bash that. I can't even bash that. What I've noticed this year, that between the year of 2010 and now, I've noticed we're getting more of our sisters that's trying to go to gear themselves towards the natural look. And I'm not knocking you permed head sisters.
Right.
We've had a show about that before, and I know a sister called in. She's like, she's trying to gain knowledge and truth of self, and she's really, like, on trying to be a black nationalist. She said, but the moment she walked in the room with her perms, her sisters, well, they asked her.
I'm a little prejudiced against the perm now, a little bit.
Oh, sister.
I don't know. I'm working on it because I'm like, I'm trying to understand because, like, let me not sound like no hypocrite because I used to have a perm. I've been natural.
Exactly. Think about where you was. We got to talk about that. That's what goes along with health. We have to begin to talk about that. Now, we can't be bashing our sisters with these different types of hairstyles. They're in transition. And besides, if that sister can pick up a gun, then, you know what I mean, she's all with me, and I got locks, but if she's willing to roll me and she got a gun in her hand and she's willing to knock out whoever my enemy is and her enemy, and we got the same enemy and she realizes that, then I'm down with her. I don't care nothing about her having a perm. That don't even bother me. You know what I mean? And that's what we have to get back to. We
and
have
you
to
know,
like.
And I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you why perms bother me.
Let me one more thing, and then you can say. But one thing that really bothers. Check this out, sister. You have a lot of these sisters that got locks and natural hairstyles, and when it comes down to picking up something or having to go out there and fight our enemy, they are gonna be like, "Oh, the earth is not right. I'm going to go hug this tree over here." That's why I saw that about the tree hugging thing, because I use that as an example. But I'm not knocking you about that. I'm just laughing. I'm just playing with you. But my point is that a lot of these sisters, they would be willing to die for it. What I call is some of these folks are locked. So I can't, like, really safely look at a sister's head and say, hey, I ain't mess with her because she got locks. I'm not going to roll my, you know what I mean? Y'all sisters ought to be ashamed of y'allselves.
Right, because you know what? It's a lot of sisters to me that misrepresent the lot. You know, they natural, but they're not natural because it's a way of living. It's more like a fashion statement because right now locks are in. So, no, I don't look at every woman with locks and say, oh, she's one of us, you know, or she has my back, or I know I can confide in her. I don't look at that. And I don't not look at sisters with perms as if
you know, they're my instant enemy. A lot of the reasons that kind of, you know, agitate me a little bit about firms and with me being in the natural health field is just because it's just so much poison that they're
right.
putting
That's true.
Into
That's
their
true.
Bodies by way of the perm. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Except
if you leave that perm on your hair too long, it burns you. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? So if it's that strong, imagine how those fumes are seeping into your skin by way of your scalp, which you're going to your brain. And see, that's how I look at it. You know, because I understand, you know, it's just some people, they just want to just, you know, have it easier. And, you know, they want to look certain ways and they want certain styles. Can't knock them for that. You know, it's just the same way
being
is like eating pork. You know what I'm saying? It holds the same amount of poison. And it's killing us. And that's
yeah.
what my agitation is with the fun.
I understand. I mean, I don't disagree with you on that, but I'm just saying that a lot of times I know we've had these discussions you would never believe. I've sat on phone conferences and I've sat in meetings where we would discuss these types of issues. And this was one of the number one issues, like our natural systems would like really be flipping out when that sister got a perm. I'm like, but if that sister willing to pick up a gun, why are you worried about that's her head? You know what I mean? She ain't going to drop her perm kit on your skin. So,
right.
I mean, we could teach her better. They walk a system there. You got to teach them better. Okay, yeah, we can discuss that. We can tell them, sister, that blonde wig does look crazy. You know what I mean? Sister, why are you putting the blonde wig? Yeah. We could tell them they don't have to look like Nicki Minaj. Yeah. But if somebody like, if we have people like, I don't want to even use her as an example because that's a poor example. Like I said that. But if we have people that wear backs and all these different colored hairstyles and they're willing to be down and they're willing to follow the protocol and they're willing to carry out a mission, I salute them. You know what I mean? I'm not even going to roll my eyes at them. I'm going to give them a chance. I'm just going to, like, you know. They don't have to act like they perm. I mean, they don't have to, you know, like be dead just because they got a dead stuff on their head. That don't mean a lot. It's not that bad. I mean, as long as they working, I mean, sure, Revolution never came with a perm in your head. I mean, Revolution ain't got nothing to do with your hairstyle, you know?
Right.
It really don't have nothing to do with your damn garb, your outfit. If you want to wear jeans or garb, you know, African garb, this does not take away from who you are. You know what I mean? Does not
right.
take away from, you know, you want to fight the beast, you know, because I know a lot of us, you know, we get so caught up on wanting to do the African garb, and we don't mess with people that have on jeans. I mean, that's just how you want to express your Afrocentricity. I mean, you know, and that's that person. So, you know, just go, okay, you know, I salute you brothers and sisters that wear African garb every day. I mean, that's beautiful. You know, and that's beautiful if you don't. I mean, if you out here want to fight and go against this beast, and that's a powerful and beautiful thing, you know. So we have to begin to deal with that. And then we need to talk really about the supply and demand of things. You know, what is supply? You know, what is the demand? You know, and these things have to really, really, really go out. I know I did mention daily physical regimen. I'm going to give you a couple of questions that they asked that in this book, Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, because, of course, we're dealing with the mental aspect. And that's, you know, I guess that's the last show segment that we do. We do have roughly about 8 more minutes, so I'm just going to say these real briefly. I'm not even going to say all of it. But it says, how often do you and each member of your family engage in exercise? Now, how can you be a revolutionary if you're not going to do any forms of exercise? I know we all need to get better at that, I myself included. And the next one is how many hours of sleep? You mentioned this earlier, sister. How many hours of sleep do you or each member of your family get every night? These are things that we have to talk about. How would you rate your nutritional value of the food and that you regularly eat? So that's things that we have to really deal with. Okay, I'm not going to even talk about the last point. We might touch on that at another part of another show. But I definitely want everybody to know about post-traumatic slavery, and we're going to break that down further.
And sister, you are the you're one of the experts on this. So what, you know, we've been talking about post-traumatic slavery, but what I thought about is that we really didn't, we failed to mention exactly what it is, because of a lot of our people that are listening may not know exactly what post-traumatic slavery is and how do they suffer. So if you could briefly tell them, because we got like a few more minutes left for the show, but if you could briefly break down to them what exactly is post-traumatic slavery. Because you are an expert on this, because this is one of our first conversations.
Okay. Yeah, now I'm going to start off by saying, okay, they kind of mimic it off post-traumatic stress syndrome, which that is anytime you've been traumatized by any event or situation in your life that still affects you now, mentally, physically, emotionally, and everything else. Now, post-traumatic slave syndrome is we're still suffering and feeling the effects of when our ancestors were slaves. You know, the issues that we deal with as Black people, we still have that, you know, we're at the bottom, white people at the top way of living, because a lot of white people are still living or they are benefiting from when their ancestors were slave owners. So that's what post-traumatic slave syndrome is, and it's always going to be in existence until everybody realizes that we were slaves at one point and slavery existed. See, what a lot of people want to do is they want to sweep it under the carpet. Oh, that was way before our time. I wasn't a slave owner. You wasn't a slave. But no, your blood was, and my blood was.
Exactly.
And until you acknowledge it and accept it, and I acknowledge it and accept it, we're still going to be oppressed by it. So that's why, I'm always, every day I'm like, post-traumatic slave syndrome, because we need to know this. We need to know that the reason why we're suffering, we can't get jobs, the reason why, you know, our families are broken up, the reason why our men are in jail, the reason why, you know, we're getting beat by the police is because of that old mentality that we were slaves and they were the slave owners.
And this is a legitimate disorder. You know, this is a clinical disorder. I mean, so why people are not acknowledging it, you know, it really is a legitimate disorder. You know,
but you know what?
I wish we could you know what, we're going to make this 30 more minutes, sister, because we really need to kind of dab into this. No, not to think about it.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but I was going to say, you know, we have always been taught, you know, throughout life, and no one had to tell me, as a young child, no one had to tell me, okay, white people live this way and Black people live that way, because it's always there. You know, you always seen the difference. And as you got older, you know, then you start to realize, wait a minute, these white people ain't right. You know what I'm saying? You don't know better when you're younger because you're born into it. And then you just see it's just how it is. But as you get older, you're like, wait a minute, hold up. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with the story called The Whipping Boy. But The Whipping Boy.
Yeah, I need to break it down. Mm-hmm.
Okay, The Whipping Boy was, you know, back during slavery, it would be a white child, and they would be assigned a slave, you know, that was their age, the same age as them. And whenever that white child did something wrong, that the slave child got a beating for it. So,
okay.
You know, they wanted to punish their child, but they couldn't, so they punished the Black child. So it was like somebody got punished for the crime. And if you think about it, white people do this to this day. They don't care who committed the crime. They just want somebody to pay for it. So they're willing to take a life. They're willing to take your child. They're willing to do all this stuff just for somebody to pay for that crime. I don't know if...
And it's
if
still going on. That's,
exactly.
That's what's deep.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just read a story a couple weeks ago about this 14-year-old boy who was executed. I don't know if you know about that. And I don't remember his name off the bat. I wrote it down somewhere. But anyway, this is back in the 40s. And they executed this 14-year-old boy because these two white girls came by his house looking for something, and somebody ended up killing them. So they didn't know who killed them. So what they did was they gave the boy ice cream at 14 years old for him to confess to murder. Now, you think about in the 40s, he probably was not allowed to eat ice cream or couldn't, you know,
exactly.
Ice cream wasn't available to him. So when they gave it to him, he was like, oh, yeah, I did it. I did whatever you said I can do. Just give me that ice cream, you know. And then they executed him. But not only that, when he went through trial, they ran his family out of town, so he had no support going through trial
exactly. With
him. And then they executed that boy at 14 years old because they just wanted somebody to pay. And I almost can swear that movie Green Mile was based off that story, because if you read that story and you watch the movie Green Mile, it's so similar, you know. And even in that movie, and see, I'm a person that when I watch movies, I try to find a message in each movie. And even in that movie Green Mile, you will see that here this black man, he didn't do anything but try to help these white girls, but he got punished because they just needed to punish somebody. So
that's
what we deal with every day. You know, even when you go to your slave job every day, you know, sometimes you have to bear the punishment of what that blue-eyed devil did, you know.
Yeah, your manager that was white, yeah.
Right, somebody has to get punished. So it's easier to punish us of color because they know we're used to the suffering, you know. So that's why we still, and we carry that resentment, because what we have to do, either you deal with it or you're out of a job, and you got to deal with it quietly. The worst thing you have to do is deal with a situation and not be able to say anything about it to hold it within. You know, so
that's what we do.
Let me tell you something. Anytime, even if you need help, if you go to the system for help, let's say you're a single, you know, you're a single mother, single father, whatever, you go to the system for help. They sit there and they degrade you, who you having sex with, where you been with them, what diseases have you had. I mean, they ask you all these unnecessary questions to make you feel this little. But you have to accept that in order to get the help that you really, really is yours anyway, because you put it into it. You know what I'm saying? So now they take from you. They take from you. They take from you. They take taxes out your check. You know, whenever they want to garnish your check and go into your bank account, they can do that. But then when you turn around and you need help, you know, and you go to them, and then they make you feel this little. You know, they make you feel so small. You know, and then you have to carry that with you every day. So why wouldn't we be pissed off?
Exactly. And have anxiety and depression over
and have anxiety.
Kind of stuff.
Then you send your children to these schools. These teachers mistreat your children.
It says a child who is not reading above average or standard. Standard according to who, you know?
Exactly.
That's a huge problem. You know, that's a huge problem. You have affordability where you can, you know, hire tutors and stuff. I work 5 jobs, you know what I mean? So I barely have enough time to get and do homework for my children. So, I mean, that's real, though. That's why
they make us work so hard. I tell my kids all the time, I have to work twice as hard to get half as much as everybody else around here because of the color of my skin, you know. So that means that takes me away from being at home with them. That takes me away from our quality time spent together. And while I'm at work, I'm mad because I'm missing my son's game, or I'm mad because I can't take my daughter where she needs to go. You know, that anger builds up, you know, and I get frustrated. And that's how most of us are, because what else can we do? We don't live in our own community. We don't have our own community where we make our own rules and make our own laws. We have to go by and do what they say. And if we don't, it's consequences to be paid. If I say, okay, you know what, my daughter, she getting messed with at school, I'm not going to let her go to school this day. I'm going to let her stay home and get, you know, some mental time. Okay, now they're going to send the police knocking at my door. So now you're forcing me to put my kids in that situation where you're not even trying to fix it.
And then if your child go postal, then they will blame the parent, you know, or they'll blame
the
child.
Exactly. Then it's my fault because I'm not at home.
Right, and see, we have to be real. That's why we have to start taking our children out these schools and start taking them to universities that we own, because we have universities and schools
right. And
schools for our children that they can go to. They can get just as much, better education at them, you know, than they
that's
can,
why,
you know.
That's why I say I'm a firm believer. We have to separate and educate. you know, all the way we're going to teach our children is we separate educate.
Yes, ma'am. That is true. That is absolutely true. But I've really, you know, really into going into the post-traumatic stress and definitely and how it is, we really have to look at it overall, you know what I mean, and how we suffer from that, you know, because it's clearly racism. It's clearly
right.
Racism we are suffering from, and clearly racism is still alive today. It's really even worse because
right.
They try to claim it's not racism when clearly any smart person, any dumb person will be able to see, even a blind person knows, you know, what forms of racism is applied in their situation, you know. Not only are you treating me, you know, because of the color of my skin, but you're treating me because of the way you're stereotyping me because of what you think that my people are. And it's not even my stereotype of people, but it's your selective service and thinking of how we are. And it's harm that is manifested through poor mental and physical health, family and relationship dysfunction, and self-destructive impulses. So we have to really begin to look at that. And if that sounds like you, and if you're experiencing that, then that, guess what? That means you have PTSS, which is post-traumatic slave syndrome. So we have to begin to, and this is something that I really, really want us as black people to really dive into. It's not just a form that we should look at as an excuse, because it's not. But there are solutions for that. And solutions to deal with post-traumatic slavery is separation and education.
Exactly.
That is the solution of this. But we need to acknowledge it. First, we have to get our people to admit that they are suffering from this type of mental defect, because it's not our fault, though. And that's one of the things that a lot of our people aren't realizing. And they need to know what the name is. They need to know what it's called. And it actually is a legitimate disorder. So I really have to keep saying that. And it's an ongoing trauma of slavery. Even whether, like you said before, even whether or not you acknowledge it, you know, you were a slave. But there are certain types of slavery. I mean, this is modern-day slavery. Jail systems is a slavery. Us walking around now is still a form of slavery, because we always are slaves. You know, with slaves, you always have to answer to somebody. And if we're,
right.
you know, a oppressive person that we're answering to, right? We're answering to oppressive people. If we don't take our children to these schools, then we have to answer to the oppressive systems that be police department, the educational system, people like that, which is oppressive. So whether or not, you know, if we go to job, we work at these plantations, we have to answer to this boss that lays this high expectation on us that should never be met, but nobody else is demanding the work. I mean, we see this every day. So
right. We
definitely have to deal with it. So anytime if you really research and go further, when you're in an oppressive state or an oppressive system, when you're in an oppressive way, that these are the things that we have to really, really deal with as a people. So everybody, and if you run this down and really think about it, overall, everybody that is black suffers from this disorder. Whether or not you want to acknowledge it, you still suffer from this disorder. And you just call it a mental defect, or they call it paranoid, schizophrenic. You go to the therapist and you allow them to call it a paranoid disorder, but it's really not. Yeah, you might be paranoid, because you might not be off, because somebody probably is trying to kill you. You got a host, you know, a oppressive system that's trying to kill you because they want to either lock you up, like I said before, put you down in the ground, which is death, unless you want to assimilate, unless you want to do things your way. That's why we, you know, our children show out, because in certain ways we're Africans, we're black, we're not all these other entities that they want us to be, and we shouldn't have to assimilate, and we're not going to. Go ahead, sis.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything that you said as far as the post-traumatic slave syndrome, but we also have to just, I had a point that it slipped from me, but we also have to stop accepting what is given to us. You know what I'm saying? You know,
exactly.
Like you were saying, even with the job, because I remember at one point I was working all holidays and birthdays and everything else,
why these white people was out enjoying their life. And I'm thinking, like, women, I'm just, you know, here to pull black girl. She need the money. So, yeah, they go, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. I got to a point where I just said, you know what? You're not working, I ain't working. The shift just ain't going to get covered. And if it costs me my job, then oh well. But, you know, what I did was I went to school, and I'm in a profession where I'm self-employed. And I work when I want to at this point. Because I knew, you know, just my knowledge and my attitude had started shifting to where I was like, I'm not punching in nobody's clock. You know, I suffer and I struggle anyway, so I ain't going to do it.
Right,
you know.
You know, I really struggle, and you know, working for self than working for somebody else, because it's a struggle trying to work for somebody. You get more stressed out working for somebody else than you will for yourself. So, brothers and sisters, especially us, we really need to think about empowering ourselves and, like I said, creating opportunities for ourselves. Because I don't want y'all to create a different capitalistic system that will enslave the next black person. But that's not what I mean, you know. We have to definitely get people, if we can get a group of people together and start buying different things and investing in different things, that's going to make us do a come up for ourselves. So, because we do need to support our movement. I don't believe that we should be broke either. Please understand that broke revolutionary is not the thing. You do not have to be broke to say that you're down with the people. Please believe it.
And you know, for some reason people believe that, like, okay, if I'm down with the people, I don't need no money. No, wrong answer.
That's a lie. That's a lie. The devil's a lie.
Look, I know we in the struggle, but we don't always want to struggle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we don't need to be the struggle. My pockets don't need to be the struggle, because as revolutionaries and black nationalists, we need to be able to travel around this country.
Right.
We have to raise up so many people, and we're trying to say we're free. We're trying to build a nation. How are you going to build a nation and your pockets is broke? And that's a form of post-traumatic slavery, thinking that you do not have to be less than what you are, because we are great people. We do have descendants for queens and kings, and we are queens and kings today, now, right now, and here and now. You know what I mean? Regardless of what predicament or situation you are. I know some brothers and sisters that get on the soapbox and be like, that sister is just a you-know-what, and they'll call out her name. But at the end of the day, she still is a queen and a king. Boy, he is a king and she is a queen. Let me stop saying, because I don't want some people call in and thinking, you know, they all, their sisters are, you know, they're both sisters of earth and earth supposed to be together. That's another stuff. But my point is that we have to really get back to the truth, and we can't wait on somebody else to point the truth out to us. We need to really begin to see that. And we have to kill and get rid of this illness that we have, the post-traumatic slavery. We have to get rid of it, because it's too much. It's too much. It's too much of a burden that we are experiencing, you know. We shouldn't feel guilty about things we didn't do. We just shouldn't. We should hold the oppressor accountable for things that they are doing and still doing they've done in the past. We can't let them slide with that. We have to stop letting them slide with these different things. But since I guess we can go ahead, if you have anything else to say on this subject, I guess we can make our announcements, and then we probably can end the show. I might take, let me see if we got another call. I might take one more call. I think the brother's calling back in. Did he call? Did he hang up? Okay, he hung up. If somebody else got another question, press 1. We are in the after show right now. So if you do have another question, we give you 5 more minutes for a question. We didn't mean to make you put your hand down. If you got something else to say, press number 1. I'm giving you 5 more minutes. But anyway, sister, do what you was going to do. Say what you was going to say.
Well, you know, back to earlier when you were saying, you know, daily routines as far as exercising and the right amount of sleep. If I don't get my 8 hours, I'm not nice. So I have to, 8 hours is a requirement for me. As far as exercising, the electric slide, can't go wrong with that. You know, we made a TV to add. You know, the electric slide,
really?
The stop sign, the bobble.
Sister, really? I didn't even think about that. Well, I could be exercising now, sis. Sister, that is a good point. Yeah.
And we do it as a family.
For our family. Yeah.
Yeah, we do it as a family, and it's fun. So that's an hour exercising right there, and you don't even know it. You know, you don't even pay attention because, you know, you start acting silly, but you're moving around and you exercise and stuff like that. So
I'm going to pop to your phone, like,
Look, I'm going to crack you up right now. I'm going to tell you what songs I have on there. I have the Electric Slide, the Dougie, the Cha-Cha, the Tootsie Roll. You remember that song?
Yes, ma'am.
It's like, what is that? But, you know, that's a workout. That song right there is a workout. And One Leg Up, it's a gumbo song. That's like 10 minutes long. That's enough to kill you right there. But,
yeah,
you know,
good.
We worked out.
Yeah, that's a bonus song. I don't want my children to put One Leg Up. But, yeah, ma'am.
One Leg Up, put your booty on the floor. That work out your glutes, you know, your glutes and your quads. And your hamstrings—that's a good exercise right there. So we get it in.
That's funny, sis. That is hilarious. But yes, it is creative. That is a form of exercise, sis. Yeah, that is a form of exercise because a lot of our people don't want to feel like they're exercising.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And that is a great way to
exercise. Look, that was killing me. What exercise? I don't know. Not today. So I came up with the idea, let's go ahead and put them songs on there. Like I said, you can't go wrong with the Electric Slide.
That's true. That is true. Because, we've done it. You know, it's tradition that black folks do that at their weddings and family events. You know, every time they put on their Electric Slide number 5 on, everybody get up there and be doing it. And, you know, you get them older sisters up there, they be working their floor on it with their Electric
Slide.
Everybody.
You know what? Everybody from the young to the old to the Electric Slide. So I believe that's what's going to bring our people together. I'm just going
to
put a freedom on top of my car.
Well, maybe, sister, we need to have somebody do a freedom song that, you know, that they can do the Electric Slide to and talk about, you know, reparations and talk about 10-point program. Maybe we need to create that, and then that way we can get our people not only to get the knowledge of self, but they will also get that exercise in.
I'll definitely start working on that. I will work on that.
Where's my one sister that created that song for me? She's a great artist. Maybe she can create something like that. We need to mention that to Sister Conscious Platt. Yeah. We can talk to her about that. That is beautiful, you know. But I guess we got a few more minutes. Anybody else got anything else to say? I see people put their hands down. But anyway, I want to do a couple of announcements. We have if you want to join or be a part of the National Day of Action, it's nationaldayofaction.com. You know, you can get that via Facebook or you can go on to the internet, www. Also, we have to join the New Black Panther Party is nbpphq@yahoo.com or you can inbox me, Amira Sankofa, on Facebook, or you can inbox the sister to get your information. Sister, what is your Facebook information? Get them at Facebook information so they can inbox you if they want to, you know.
Yeah, you can just inbox me, A Touch of Soul to Soul, and it's one word, A Touch, A-T-O-U-C-H, of S-O-U-L-T-O-S-O-L-E. I know it's a long name, but if you just type in A Touch, I'll pop up. You'll see my logo.
Yes, sister. It is a long name, but that's all right, sister. We're going to work with that anyway. And to join, you need to text 502-299-8530. 502-299-8530. And also, I'm trying to make sure I gave all the information out. I think I really did. Okay. Well, anyway, black brothers and sisters and Africans and Moors and Muslims or whatever you call yourself, our people, we want to wish you a black power and join in next week, next Wednesday, 8 p.m., same time. We'll do a two-hour show. Next week, we're going to discuss police brutality. That's one of our 10 points. Of the one of our points on the 10-point program platform with New Black Panther Party, and we also have a show coming up. I think Saturday at 9 p.m. We might have a show before then, but I'm thinking this week we're going to have. We'll start next week. But let me let you all know this: next week we will have shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, as well as Saturday and Sunday. You know, 7 days a week. We're really going to be pumping up the Black Power.
informational segment. We're going to give you information. We're going to give you, hopefully we'll throw some music in there for y'all. Maybe I can do something like the sister said, electric slide to it and pump full of knowledge. So we're definitely, our national channel will be on Mondays. We're definitely going to have that. And then we're going to have a national spokesman on Saturdays for the Panther Teaching Night. And tonight is the Sisters Night, and it will consist of me and Sister Sylvia, my co-host. And let's see what else. Sister Sylvia, you got anything else to say before we end this? Because I don't want to just be long-winded. It's your show, too.
Well, all I want to say is make sure from this point on everybody take care of yourself. You are most important to yourself, so make sure you eat right, sleep right, exercise. Get it in where you need it in, and let's build a nation.
All right. All right, brothers and sisters. We're going to end this show, and y'all definitely call back in, and y'all stay tuned. We're going to be 7 nights a week, and if y'all want to be a radio host, call in, too, because we need some of them as well. Sister, let me pop my sister Lady Freedom out, giving her shout out for calling in today. She'll definitely have a radio show as well, and we're going to have I call him our pit bull, but our national field marshal, King Samir, he'll be telling y'all to stop cooning. He'll have his own radio show. So definitely tune in because the new Black Panther Party is definitely, man, coming on strong this year. This is a new year, and next year, 2012, we're going to be even greater. So stay tuned. Black power, everybody.
Black power.
Until the philosophy which hold one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently